the 16th chapter. Luke 16, verse 19. Notice now this is not a parable. It's a, verse 19 says the there was a certain rich man. And so this is not a parable. This, I believe, is an actual story. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, in other words, if they won't hear the word of God, they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You know, maybe sometimes people think, well, boy, if the Lord would just speak to me audibly, or if I'd have a dream or a vision, boy, I'd really obey the Lord, or I'd really do it. Listen, if you won't hear God, God has spoken to you. And God's spoken to me, and he's spoken through his word. And folks, if you won't hear the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart through His Word, Jesus said you wouldn't hear if one rose from the dead. So we need to hear the Word of God. Let's bow our heads, please, for prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for this privilege of coming back to God's house one more time, this side of eternity, to sing these old songs, hear the Word of God taught, and hear the Word of God preached, and Lord, would you be in our midst? Lord, give us something today for our never-dying soul. May we who are saved, may we be strengthened in our faith, strengthened in the Lord to be more than overcomers through him that loved us. And I pray for that Christian that's undergoing, Lord, a time of assault from the wicked one. Maybe they're under a real burden and going through a valley, Lord. Under the storm clouds are howling. I pray, Lord, you'd be real to them, and may your presence be with them and see them through, we pray. And then, Lord, for that one here today outside of Christ, I pray they'll sense their need today strongly of their need of a Savior. Speak to them by thy Spirit, Lord, and may they respond and come to Christ. That Christian that's walking afar off, may they rededicate their life and come back nigh unto the Lord. Now, Lord, help me as I preach. I confess before heaven and earth, Lord, I can't preach without your help, and give me that sweet liberty, I pray. Defeat the devil. Then, Lord, bless our children's churches today and our preschool and everything that goes on these grounds. May it have the stamp of divine approval on it. Lord, we want to please you. Would you help us now and bless our worship? Bless the word, Holy Spirit, dew of heaven, be in our midst, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to speak to you on a most unpleasant subject today. It is a subject that most preachers avoid, and I don't like to preach it, and certainly you don't like to hear it, but it's a subject that must be preached from the pulpits of America. Every man of God across America, every now and then, has to come to Luke 16 or another passage in the Word of God where it teaches us about hell, because there is a place called hell. And I always, when I think of this, I think of Dr. Lakin telling this pulpit a number of times about his pastor in Florida preaching on heaven. And then he said, and then there's that other place too, you know. And Dr. Lakin said, I turned to his wife and said, I feel like going up there and kissing him. And there is more in this book on hell than there is on heaven. So if I preach the Word of God and faithful to the Word of God, every now and then I have to preach on the place called hell. Old Dr. Bob Jones, I remember he'd say, young men, if there was more preaching on hell from our pulpits across America, there'd be less in the pews and in the homes. And that is true, because the Bible teaches there is a literal burning hell for those outside of Jesus Christ. You know, but the devil wants to confuse us on this matter of hell. And let's look at some areas of confusion concerning hell today. I'm sure many of you have heard people say, well, a loving God wouldn't send anybody to hell. I'm sure that you've heard that. I've heard people say, well, when we talk about foreign, you know what? If the heathen out there without Christ could go on to heaven without him, then you know we're doing them an injustice to send a missionary to the foreign field. But folks, everyone at home or abroad without Jesus Christ, unless they get saved, unless we can get them to Jesus, they're on their way to hell. And so I've had people say, well, I don't believe a loving God would send the heathen to hell who's never heard about Jesus Christ. But listen, your biggest worry is not about the lost heathen out there, but your biggest worry ought to be about yourself. And you need to quit worrying about the heathen and worrying about where you will spend eternity. Everybody who dies without Jesus Christ is lost. But now there are degrees of punishment in hell. We need to understand that. There's going to be degrees of punishment in heaven. There will be rewards. Some will get in, the Bible just says, so as by fire, by the skin of their teeth into heaven. And when we get to heaven, there will be some who will have many crowns and many rewards, and some who will just get in, and that's all. And it's also hell is the same way. There will be degrees of punishment in hell. Certainly, hell is going to be hotter for a Christ rejecter than it would be for someone who's never heard of the name of Christ. The Bible teaches some will be beaten with few stripes and some with many stripes. But anyway, you know, God doesn't send anyone to hell. You send yourself when you go on in sin and fail to come to Jesus Christ and get saved. Jesus said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Jesus said, hell wasn't prepared for you either, my friend. He said it's prepared for the devil and his angels. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the Lord wants you to be saved. The Lord wants everyone to be saved. But there is a fearful place called hell for those who die without Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't make me a popular preacher with the world and with the liberals and with the intelligentsia and with academia for me to stand up and preach there is a literal hell. But folks, I'm trying to please God. God called me to preach. He called me to preach His Word. And every now and then, if I'm faithful to your soul, I've got to stand up here and say there is a hell awaiting those who don't get born again and those who don't get under the blood and those who do not come to Jesus Christ. Now, if I'm fair with your soul, I've got to tell you that every now and then as a God-called preacher. And When a person says that God wouldn't send anybody to hell, he does two things. First of all, he denies the Bible when he says that God wouldn't send anybody to hell. Psalm 9, verse 17 says, "The word of God says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." And then Revelation 20, verse 15, "One day there will be a great white throne judgment, and the Lord Jesus Christ will be seated on the great white throne. And the books of every man unsaved person's works will be opened at the great white throne. And then another book will be opened, and it's the Lamb's book of life." And the Bible says in Revelation 20:15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, if you reject hell this morning, you throw this Bible out, because it teaches there is a hell for every Christ rejecter. Now, folks, that's not beautiful theology, but it's correct. It's correct theology. And then also, if you reject hell and say loving God wouldn't send anyone to hell, you make Jesus Christ a liar. Because Jesus clearly said hell was a place of punishment, it's a place of fire, it's a place of torment for the unsaved. And when you deny this, you make Jesus Christ a liar. And folks, Jesus is truth personified. It's impossible for him to lie. "Who convinceth me of sin?" Jesus said. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he is truth personified. And he taught there was a place called hell. Then a lot of people say, "Well, I believe all the hell you get's in this life." Well, I agree with that. There's plenty of hell for everybody in this life, quote unquote. There's plenty of hard times and along the way. And I agree that many people do live in literal hell on earth. I've talked to people that you wouldn't believe the miserable circumstances, the mental anguish that they were going through with. I heard this morning of a lady whose husband left her a number of years ago now. And he was gone for 25 years before they ever saw him again. And he left her with four small children. And this lady had to take in washing to feed and clothe her children. But she loved God, and she brought those children up to serve God. And they said that you could hear at night before she went to bed. People could hear as they walked by, and she said she'd be praying and saying, "Thank you, Lord, for sending me some washings in today so I could feed my babies." And God took care of her. And she went through literal hell on earth. But when a husband, a sorry, low-down husband, now you're going to get me off on something. I can feel it starting in my feet and feel it coming up. A man to do that to his wife is not worth the gunpowder it takes to blow him up with. Do you know that? And men, it's our responsibility to take care of our wife and children. It's our responsibility. I'll preach on that some other time. I've preached on it. I'll preach on that again some other time. But a lot of people do live in a lot of mental anguish, a lot of turmoil, and so-called hell on earth. Alcoholics. I mean, it's a person who's in the grips of alcoholism or in drugs. It's literally hell on earth. People are dying with AIDS across America by the thousands, and that's literally a hell on earth. As it's a living hell, a living death constantly. And by the way, you hear a lot of people say, "Oh, it's not a judgment." I believe AIDS is a judgment of God on the immoral homosexuals and bisexuals. It's around America and around the world. And I was reading a Baptist preacher the other day. He said, "Well, I don't know the mind of Christ, but," he said, "I do know that we're going to be judged on the way we treat AIDS victims." Well, I know the mind of Christ. The judgment of God's own sin. The judgment of God's own sin. Certainly we should treat people kindly. But and then I know some, I run into many homes where it's literally hell on earth. I think of Brother Mays, what he told about the woman who her husband was a drunkard. And I mean, he was a drunkard. He had come home at all hours of day and night drunk. And she was as a literal hell on earth for her. So she decided she was going to scare him one night. And she got a devil suit, dressed up in a devil suit, and stood over on the side of the porch when he came in late at night. And she jumped out at him and said, "Boo, I'm the devil." He didn't flinch a bit. He said, "Hello, Mr. Devil." He said, "Glad to meet you. Been living with your sister for 30 years now." But some people may live in a life that could be considered hell on earth. But listen, there's a place called hell. And I believe that place called hell is down in the present hell is down in the heart of the earth, right under our feet. I believe the present hell. Now, the lake of fire, we don't know where that is. I believe one day the present hell will be cast into the lake of fire. We don't know where the lake of fire is. But I believe right under our feet, while we're in this building today, in the heart of the earth, there is a present hell. And it's just as real as Johnson City, or Kingsport, or Gray, or Bristol, or any other town. The Bible says here in the Word of God, in verse 23, in hell he lift up his eyes. And then we hear a lot of people saying, "Well, I don't believe in a everlasting burning, literal burning fire, a hell fire." There's a lot of small groups across America who teach that, believe that when a person has lost their first of all, there's some people that don't believe in a literal burning hell, and then there's some people who believe that when an unsaved person goes to hell, they're burned up immediately, and that's it. No everlasting punishment. There's a Church of God of, I believe, Abrahamic faith or something like that up in Oregon, Illinois. There, when I was up there in Youth for Christ, their headquarters was there, and they believed when you went to hell, as you burned up, and that's it. The Advent Christians believe that, Jehovah's Witnesses, along with all the other confusing doctrines they have, they don't believe in eternal punishment. And then all modernists and all apostates, they have air-conditioned hell. They've done away with a literal burning hell. And listen, even, did you know there are some so-called conservative Bible believers who do not believe, including the world's greatest evangelist, who do not believe that we're to take hellfire literally. They say it means just separation from God, which may be far worse than literal burning hell. I believe it's literal fire, a literal hell, and I believe also it's a place of separation from God. And hell is separation from God, but the Bible teaches there is a literal hellfire. Here in the Word of God, Jesus said in Luke 16:23, in hell he lift up his eyes and he said, "I am tormented in this flame." And Jesus calls hell everlasting fire. He calls it a furnace of fire. He calls it a place. Listen, my friend. Listen, if you're without Jesus Christ, I hope this will grip you today. The devil wants you just to brush it aside. And saying, "Oh, that preacher up there, he's just a radical preacher. He's just one of these fundamentalists, you know." Listen, I'm preaching you the truth as straight as I know how. And I want to help you. But the Bible says that hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Every church in America needs a preacher to go to their pulpit and preach that there is a literal burning hell fire. We need it. This church, you need me to preach. Not only do I need to preach it to be faithful to God and to His Word, you need your pastor to tell you there's a place called hell out there. Then some people want to just cut up and joke and carry on about hell. Just make a joke out of it. A number of years ago, I was visiting out the other side of Gray here, and I went in, and there was one loudmouth man in there. I asked him if he was saved, and He said no, and he said, if I go to hell, he was trying to show off to the other people there. He said, if I go to hell, ha, 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 I'll have plenty of company. And I said, well, sir, your friends in hell won't be much consolation for you. You know, a person who mocks at hell mocks at God's word. The Bible says fools make a mock at sin. And then Romans 6:23 reminds us the wages of sin is death. And that death now is not the death of this physical body. It's talking about the second death, which is the lake of fire. So when you mock sin, you mock at hell and you mock God. Now, I like to have fun. I have to watch myself sometimes. I don't cut up too much. And I can let my fight up. Be careful. I don't pull practical jokes all the time. And a little humor makes the road of life a little smoother. But listen, a man is a fool to joke about hell. Don't be so foolish as to make light of hell. But you know, of all the confusion about the doctrine of hell, I believe that the indifference on the part of God's people may be the most damaging attitude there is toward hell. We say, preacher, I believe in hell, but it never affects our life. We're calloused. We believe it in the head, but it never gets down too much into our heart. Or you know what we'd do? If we really believe that, brother, we could weep o'er the erring ones and lift up the fallen and tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. When the awful, listen, members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, when the awful reality of hell grips the members of this church, we will weep over lost friends and loved ones. And then we'll willingly give in the offering plate. We'll willingly give to a faith promise program. We'll willingly put soul winning first place here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church when the awful reality of hell grips our souls. And folks, let's ask the Lord to give us a vision this morning. Just give us a vision of what it means for a person to die without Jesus Christ and go screaming into the charred regions of the damned without Christ, lost forever and forever. And then, brother, that'll make a soul winner out of you. It'll make a soul winner out of me if I can just let that fact grip my soul. Years ago, right out just a few yards out through there, a house burned down. Next morning, I stand there with a young man, and he said, preacher, lastly, he said, we woke up in the middle of the night, and flames were shooting everywhere. And he said, we just barely escaped. And he said, if hell is anything like that, I don't want to go to hell. I went to see my mother down in Saudi, Tennessee, went down to the South White Baptist Fellowship in Chattanooga and went by, had to go by and get some of Mama's cooking. Not that I don't have a good cook. The Lord gave me a good cook as a mother and a good cook as a wife. So I've been doubly blessed. Say amen right there, Sister Lassie. I have a wonderful wife. Do you know that? Say amen right there. Well, anyway, let me get over my wife. She might not cook any dinner for me today if I don't. But as I was turning the corner, going up to my mother's, right on the corner from my mother's, they tore an old house down. There's a trailer there now. But my dad used to tell me about the time he and three or four other miners, coal miners there, it was a coal mining town at that time, held my great uncle John down on a bed. My aunt, I forget her name. But anyway, she was a great Christian. Been dead many, many years. And she would go to the house of God and pray, testify, and shout the praises of God. Wonderful Christian. But her husband died, was a wicked man. And on his deathbed, he was cursing and screaming. And these men had to hold him down as he went out into eternity. He was He was crying, "My feet are slipping into the flames." And that has made a great impression upon me all of my life. And God help us as members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to let the truth of a literal, burning, never-ending hell grip our hearts and our lives. But let us all clearly understand one thing. Every person not under the blood of Jesus Christ is lost. We need to understand that. If they haven't come to Jesus, if they haven't been born again, if they haven't been saved, if they're not under the blood of Christ, they're lost. Your child who's reached the age of accountability and has not accepted Christ, they're lost and they're on their way to hell. Now we need to let that grip us. Your husband or your wife or your loved one who has not been saved, folks, they'll be lost forever and ever and ever in a place called hell if they were to die suddenly. Unsaved friend this morning, think of how awful it would be. Right now, you're here without Christ. What if your heart would quit beating right now as you're seated in this service? You're here without Jesus Christ. Or if you would step out and get in your car and get out on the road and be in a car accident and your life would be snuffed out. You would spend eternity in hell. You would be lost forever and ever and ever and ever and ever without Jesus Christ. Now, folks, that is the truth of God's Word. Now, because of that truth, Jesus came into this world to die so you would not be lost and go to this place called hell. Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, even though you gain the whole world for your own, even now, it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one leaving for just a few moments now, please. No one leaving. No one leaving. Oh, listen. Unless it's an emergency, don't leave for just a moment. Wouldn't it be terrible if somebody would leave this service today, reject Jesus Christ, and leave this service, live without God, without Christ, and die and go to hell? Oh, well, that would be tragic. And that's the purpose of this service today. That's why the Lord has called me to preach, to try to get people saved and keep people out of hell. And if you're here today without Jesus, you ought to let this thought, this fact of a literal hell grip your soul. You ought to run down this aisle to Jesus before you leave this service. How many here today can say, "Preacher, I'm glad that I have settled that thing. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm on the way to heaven. I'm glad I can testify to that this morning. I know Christ. I've received Him as my Savior. And I know Him. And I'm glad that I won't have to go to that awful place called hell." If you can say that from your heart, raise your hand just now as a testimony. Raise your hand as a testimony. Okay, put your hands back down. Of the overwhelming majority of the people could say that this morning. And I'm glad of that. But maybe you're here without Christ. And you say, "Preacher, I don't have that blessed assurance in my soul right now if I die, I'd go to heaven. Can't say that I know Christ. I can't say that He's a blessed living reality to me. I've never opened my heart and asked Him to come in, forgive me my sins, and be my Savior." Oh, listen, my friend, you ought to do that today. You're one heartbeat out of hell this morning if you're here without Jesus Christ. How many here say, "Preacher, I'm interested enough in eternal welfare of my soul. I know that I'm not saved," or maybe you're just not sure and you'd like to be sure. You can be sure. We'd like to take God's Word and show you how you can be sure of heaven. You say, "Preacher, I need prayer today." Just slip your hand all over the house. Let me just pray for you in this closing word of prayer. Would you do it? Somebody here without? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank God for these two. Anyone else? Anyone else? The Lord wants to save you today if you'll just give him a chance. Is there somebody that say, "Preacher, I am saved, but I'm not living close to the Lord, and God's been dealing with me, and I don't have victory in my life, and I'm a defeated Christian, and I need to do business with God"? Oh, listen, the Lord loves you. He wants you to come back to him. He wants you to recommit yourself to him. He wants you to rededicate your life to him. You say, "Preacher, pray for me. I am a Christian, but there's a need in my life." Just slip your hand up. Are there Christians like that? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? And put your hand back down. Anyone else? "Preacher, there's a need in my life. Pray for me." Is anyone else? Anyone else? Listen, I want to help you today. I don't want to hurt you. I haven't preached on hell to hurt anybody. I preached on hell to get you to Jesus and try to keep you out of hell. I'm interested in your soul. I love you for Jesus' sake. Anyone else? "Preacher, pray for me." Anyone else? "A spiritual need. Preacher, pray. There's a spiritual need in my life. Pray for me." Anyone else? Father, we thank you today for this privilege of coming back to God's house, and thank you for these wonderful songs. Lord, thank you. Even though there is a place called hell, Jesus made a way of escape for us on Calvary. I'm thankful, Lord, that you loved us, that enough to send your darling son. And he came all the way from heaven to an old rugged cross and died that we might not have to die. And I pray for everyone that raised their hand. Lord, may they come and be saved and rededicate their life. May others who didn't raise their hand, may they come when the invitation's given, and maybe some need to join the church. May they come at this time. Holy Spirit, draw people to Jesus and to heaven when the invitation's given, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. I don't believe I can make it any plainer. You know, it's Jesus or hell, isn't it? Isn't that sort of the way it is? I mean, that's cutting it right down the middle. It's Jesus or hell. And I'm glad a long time ago I made my decision for Jesus, and I'm not going to hell. I'm on the way to heaven this morning. And I want you to go along with me. If you need to get saved, come on. If you need to rededicate your life, we'll pray with you. If you're not saved, we'll take God's word and show you how you can go to heaven. Come on down. We'll take God's word and show you how you can go to heaven. Would you like to do that? Would you like to know that you're on your way to heaven? Come on down. One of our workers will take God's word and show you how you can know you're going to heaven. If you want to join the church, rededicate your life. Every one of you who raised your hand and the invitation's given, come right on. Would you do it? Let's stand and sing what number?
207.
207. Let's sing, and I'll be standing right here, and I'll meet you right here. Come right on. You that raised your hand, come right on.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one
prayer. And I appreciate your interest. The greatest thing you can have is be interested. Have that interest in your never dying soul. You have a soul that's going to live on while age is rolling. And I'm going to have the choir to sing the next verse in just a few moments. And the young lady back here and over here, young fellow down here, others who raised your hand, if God spoke to your heart, if God spoke to your heart, won't you just slip right out? Ma'am, won't you come back here? Just slip right out as the choir sings now and come down here and let us pray with you and take God's word. You can rededicate your life or you can get saved and leave here with the blessing of God upon your life. As the choir sings the next verse, slip right out. You raised your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, come to Jesus. Come on. As we sing. Come on. Won't you come? Come on. Way for just a moment. We're going to sing one other verse. What verse we're going to sing? Verse 1, okay. And I thank the Lord for these that have come to rededicate their life and the Watts have come this morning to join our church. Glad to have you folks. Appreciate you. God bless you. And let's sing one other verse while we pray with this one here. We'll wait though. We'll take all day if necessary. We're not in a hurry to leave when people want to do business with God. And I'm as big a eater as anybody in this house. But I will stay here all day as long as people want to do business with God. And we'll wait on you. We're in no hurry. People didn't leave for the last play at East Tennessee Stadium here last night, yesterday afternoon, did they? Won the game on the last play. And brother, I'll stay here till the sun goes down tonight to help you if you want to get saved. Or get right with the Lord. Or come. Maybe you got a need. You just want to pray about it. One other verse. Won't you come? Won't you come to the Lord? Come to Jesus. Come on. Listen. Don't go away from here without Christ. I'm sure in a crowd, there's two or three other hands raised for prayer. I'm sure in a crowd like this, there's somebody here not saved. And the Lord was gracious to you in letting you hear a message on hell. And letting you know there's a way to escape that awful place. And that's through Jesus. It's not through this preacher. I had to come to Christ myself. I couldn't save myself. I had to come to him for salvation. Church can't save you, but Jesus can. You'll never be good enough to get to heaven and escape hell. Only Jesus can save you. One of the verse. Come on as we sing.
Just as I am without.